verse where it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth as for man his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The psalmist here relating how frail we are and how short life really is. I'm thinking in connection with remembering and not forgetting the benefits and the blessings of the Lord. In connection with that, I'm thinking of how frail we are, and that we are dust, that we are human, and that we have a tendency to forget. Have you ever thought like this? I wonder what I'm forgetting. Try to think. You may not have had any certain thing on your mind, but just the frailty of our humanity. Or you ever been tempted to be concerned or worried about what you should be worrying about, but you couldn't think what it was? Maybe you don't have that problem. But occasionally it swept over my mind, I think I ought to be concerned or worried about something, and I can't think what it is. That's how frail my mind is. And felt like the Lord has checked me on that. He doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to put our trust in Him, and He wants us to bless Him. But just to think briefly on how human we are and how frail we are and how easily we forget. Children forget, don't they? Sometimes when a child will want something, and you'll grant them their request, but on a condition. Well, we'll let you go outside and play for a while. When you come back in, you have to dry the dishes. They immediately will respond, and they'll go outside and play. But it's so easy to forget the conditions of that. And, well, I forgot all about that. Well, when we were young, sometimes our parents had a way of helping us to remember, didn't they? Through correction. But I also thought in the same wave of thought of things that children don't forget. You promise a child something they want very much, and they rarely forget it. I have kind of committed myself, and I think it's probably been over a year, of taking my grandchildren to the zoo, and they haven't forgotten. Now, they don't just all the time call it to my attention, but every once in a while I'll say, you know, you said you'd take us to the zoo. And so they remember. The things that are important, they remember. Things that are a priority is remembered better than things that are not. The psalmist says to bless the Lord and to forget not all His benefits. I think it's important to remember the benefits of the Lord and keep them in our memory and form a habit. It wouldn't hurt to form a habit to recall the benefits and the blessings of the Lord and meditate upon them, give our thought to them, and not let it become where it's just something we take for granted. I was reminded over here in 2 Peter, where the apostle here writing, and he's just writing about some what I call very basic truths. Talking about the promises of the Lord and the promise of His divine nature that we could have. And in the fifth verse it says, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity, the graces of the Lord. It's what he's referring to, that we need to add into our life. And I don't think there's a mystery concerning that, something that we're all aware of. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you add these graces to your life, by the Lord's help, he's saying you'll never fall. I think that's something we're all would agree with and know to be true. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what I wanted to get down to in the 12th verse, where it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent, I'll not be careless, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So what I notice here was the apostle was teaching just some very basic essentials in our Christian experience and life. How that we need to have more faith and more brotherly kindness and more temperance and all of those graces in our life. And that's things that we've heard from our childhood, most of us. And that we know that goes along with the Christian life, and he's encouraging them to add them to their life and the importance of them and how necessary they are. And he said, "I won't be careless, but I'm going to continually bring this to your remembrance. I want you to think about it. I want you to be aware of it, that this is necessary, that we have this that we might not fall." And I thought, how simple and yet how important that is. I think oftentimes we're tempted to try to look into the Word of the Lord and come up with some unique illustration or something that's a little our own approach or our own thoughts, or maybe to impress others, you know, that I'm knowledgeable or that I have come up with something in an original way. And we maybe sometimes take 30 minutes or an hour to express something that could really be said in 5 or 10 minutes because of our humanity. But the apostle here, he simply clearly stated what they needed to add to their lives, how important it was, how to keep them in good graces and keep them encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. But he said, "I'm not going to neglect to remind you this, even though you're saved and established in the present truth, this simple or this basic truth, it is important that we continually bring it to our remembrance." I feel that's true this morning along different lines of truth. I think even now it comes to my mind, just as an example, the importance of having a missionary spirit, a love for the lost, being concerned about the lost. And I'm not too sure that we don't bring that to our remembrance enough. I think that sometimes it kind of gets it's tucked away. And we become so involved with maybe issues or opinions that we neglect that. Just some real essentials, real basic, real easy understood gospel that I'm thinking this morning really needs to bring brought to our remembrance more often. Needs to be brought to our attention, that we would be found faithful, that we would be found applying our hearts and our lives to the truth. And I was impressed when I read this, not just recently, but a number of times, where he makes it a point. He says, "Though ye know them, and though ye be established in the present truth." You're established in this, and you know the truth. They're not talking about I'm trying to just address it to someone that never had heard or is a new convert, although I certainly believe that has its place. I believe we that have known the Lord for a long time, and we that we consider ourselves established in the truth, we're still human. We still have the capability to forget and not to keep a consciousness of the basics, what I call the basics. Do you ever see people have been saved quite a while, and sometimes you see them conduct themselves in such a way that you feel like the basic would help them a lot? Yeah. Ever see them get somewhat irate and in an argument, various ways of conduct? You think, well, they should have understood the grace of God and the forgiveness and the love of God and the patience. And that's just basics. And even though we've been saved and established in the truth, we need that continually brought to our remembrance, that our life would be blameless, that our life would be what the Lord would have it to be. I notice again the apostle, even in the third chapter, this, where he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." It wasn't wrong or sinful, but pure minds. Is his desire to stir it up by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. And then he goes on to write to them. But he's expressing that there is a need for stirring up at times. There's a need for a moving, and it will come with the remembrance, calling to remembrance, and the blessings or the word, the commandment of the Lord, or the dealings of the Lord in our heart and life. I don't want to be a person that's forgetful of the blessings of the Lord or His commandments, either one. I want to keep them in my heart. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, it tells us about God's relationship and His dealing with the children of Israel, His people, and how He brought them into the land of Canaan, you remember? The 7th verse, it begins to tell what a wonderful land it was. Brooks of water, springs, and there was wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein shall not eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. In other words, it was a land that had everything that was needed for, and we understand this to typify or to mean our blessings that the Lord has provided for us spiritually as well. And God is saying to His children here, when I supply all these things, when I bless you with a land where there's no scarceness, and where everything is bountiful, there's something you need to be careful about. When thou hast eaten and are full, and thou hast blessed the Lord thy God for the good land which He given thee, beware lest thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Seems like sometimes when people get full, they forget, don't they? Sadly, that's what he's saying here. And that can apply, I feel like that can apply to us today. And first of all, I would consider in our spiritual, get into a place where there's revival or camp meeting, the presence of the Lord is there, and you're just feasting and enjoying the fellowship with the Lord and with His people and with the Word of the Lord. And you're just full, and we're not careful. What he's saying here, and even in that state, you can forget the Lord. You can forget the commandments of the Lord and the call of the Lord. Sometimes I think we probably do become too much within our own selves. You know, and forget about the multitudes that don't know the truth, that don't have that joy. And you can just feast so much upon the truth and the saints and the fellowship of the saints that we just would forget about the commandment of going into all the world, about others that need to know the Lord and need to know the truth. I also think we're aware this morning that even in the natural, we can prosper, and we can become so blessed, and that really is a blessing of the Lord in a temporal way, or even in a physical way, where we would forget the Lord. We would not be as conscious of Him and His will and His purpose. And I think we've all experienced that at times in our life. When we say we got too busy, generally we express it that way. Well, I just become too busy. I was overcharged with the cares of life, and my mind and my thoughts were not on the Lord like they ought to be. There's been times probably in all of our lives, and the Lord has permitted adverse circumstances, whether it's temporal, material, or physical, that we all of a sudden we thought about God more than we had before. We recognized that I really needed Him. I needed His help. And so our thoughts or our memory went back to the Lord. Well, my little message this morning is the Lord to help us to remember the Lord when we're full. Remember the Lord when things are going well. When we're feeling strong and when everything's falling in place, still remember the Lord and forget not His benefits and bless His name and praise Him when things are well with us and when we feel strong, that we don't forget the Lord. But to me, in this lesson, it gives the indication that it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to go do when everything's just going along real well, to not be as conscious of the Lord and His purpose and His will for us. So we want to ask the Lord to help us to forget not His benefits and to bless His name and be mindful of that. We don't want to fall like the children of Israel did. 14th verse says, "And then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Don't ever forget our salvation. Don't ever forget the deliverance from the bondage of Satan and the power that he had over our heart and life. Remember the apostle in the 7th chapter of Romans? I believe it is, where Apostle Paul said how miserable, how wretched he was, and the things he wanted to do he couldn't do, and other things he didn't want to do he found himself doing. Well, salvation delivered us from that bondage, from the power of Egypt, or from the enemy. And so we don't want to become so lifted up, you know, well, I've been doing pretty well, and there's a lot of things I'm doing right, and become so lifted up that we forget the source of our deliverance and the source of our strength each day in our life. I believe that's important. As I was thinking along these lines of remembrance, remembering our blessings and the things of the Lord, I couldn't forget over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and I know we only probably, I don't think we refer to this as often as we should. We do at camp meeting and ordinance service now and then. But I somewhat feel this morning that the Lord would be pleased if we would think more about this. And that was what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Supper. In the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and the 23rd verse, the apostle says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take heed, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And I think that most of you know how I feel about this, the purpose of it, the reason that the Lord instituted this ordinance, and the reason it's so important to keep it in remembrance. And I've mentioned it before, it's not so much that I think that he was trying to establish human honor or sympathy, but he wanted us to remember the sacrifice and the atonement that he made for us because of his love to us, that we'd be able to respond and be faithful with our love. It's important to keep in our thoughts, in our heart, the sacrifice and the atonement that the Lord made for us. That creates within us a thanksgiving. That makes it easy to bless the Lord. When you really, by the Lord's revelation and help, think about His love to us and the sacrifice He's made, the atonement. There is no other way that we could be saved, that we could have eternal life. when you really give it thought, when you bring it to your remembrance of how that He loved us there when He by choice went to the cross. Didn't have to do that. Could have called legions of angels and been delivered. But He submitted Himself to that because of His love for us. Sometimes I think we don't remember that like we should. I think we just, and it always blesses us when we do. Perhaps the enemy knows that. And tries to keep it from our remembrance, to keep it from our thoughts, our meditation, of the unconditional love and the great love that the Lord had for us, willing to go to the cross, willing to offer Himself for us, for our sins, for the atonement, that we could have eternal life, that we could have the joy and peace that we enjoy this morning. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You see, again, I think that He recognized our humanity. And He knew that we could forget so easy. And He knew that our minds could get occupied not just on evil things, but on other things, lawful things, jobs, family, responsibilities of life. He knew that it could become heavy in that. And some of these things we might not think about for weeks and months. Except that we would look to that, and that we would call to remembrance His great love and His sacrifice for us. I think of in connection with that thought of over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, scripture that I like very much. In the 32nd verse it says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured great fright of affliction." What this means to me is called to remembrance, or remember those times that the Lord really met you. Those times that the Lord specially revealed Himself, or His power, or that He spoke to our heart. And to me, that's what the writer's saying here. Call to remembrance the former days when ye were illuminated. How are we illuminated or enlightened? It is by revelation of the Lord, or it's by visitation that God gives to us. And I think we've all done that at times. When you was in a trial, you receive strength when you recall the time when the Lord specially revealed His word or His truth or Himself unto you. And you drew strength from that. You drew inspiration and help from that, just thinking about, well, maybe it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And I was in a real severe trial, and in the midst of that trial, the Lord spoke a scripture to me, or the Lord revealed something to me, and it enabled me to soar above and to pass through that with victory. And so here, down through life, becomes another time of a severe trial. And what He's saying is, call to remembrance when the Lord illuminated your heart, or when He inspired the Word. And when you do that, you will receive a strength and a help in that. And as we read on, we find that's what He's referring to this people. He said, "When you endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made gazing stock, both by reproaches and affliction, and partly while you became companion of them that were so used." In other words, you were persecuted, and those that you associated and identified with were persecuted. "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." So what the writer's saying is, you're called to remembrance the former days when the Lord blessed you in a special way, and you was able to be strengthened. You was able to be victorious, and let that work for you today. I believe the Lord wants us to do that. You know, sometimes I think we've all had experiences when we were at wit's end corner, so to speak, and we really didn't know what was going to happen, and the Lord just spoke to our heart. Didn't He one time say to the Apostle Paul, "Be of good cheer, you know, I'm with you." And I think that perhaps He could have drew from that at different times, you know. And I was really having a time, and the Lord illuminated, enlightened, bless me. We need to call those things to remembrance. We need the strength that's in that. In this 10th chapter, 25th verse, it says, I know this is a familiar to all of us this morning, but it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the way I feel about this is, we don't come together just because the scripture says not to neglect it, although that would be enough. But we need to know why it said not to neglect it. And the reason we're instructed to assemble ourselves and worship together and be together is because in our exhortations, in our testimonies, in our worship with one another, really we're calling to remembrance the blessings of the Lord. We're calling to remembrance the truth one to another. And the Lord has a way of ministering to each other through that means, through that way. And so you find it when you meet together and as you sing, the Lord does bless us directly through His Spirit, that's true. But He also ministers to us through one another. And many times it is through remembrance. You know, we witness one to another, as we share the blessings of the Lord one with another, you find that you remember some things. And it makes us conscious more the blessings of the Lord. Whereas if you were just by yourself all the time, all you have to draw from is your own. And sometimes those memories are short, aren't they? So I feel like that's one of the reasons that we're instructed to assemble ourselves together, to be together to worship the Lord, that we draw from one another, and someone will maybe expound on a scripture or through a testimony, relate to truth, and then the Lord will say, remember how I dealt with you on that? Remember? And yeah, I remember. See, it's a way of bringing back to our remembrance as we assemble ourselves together. In the first chapter of James, I'm glad this morning that the Lord looked down upon us, recognized our humanity, recognized that we were forgetful, and has provided a way to help us, that we we can, with that human weakness, be able to receive what He wants us to. In the first chapter of James, the lesson here about the Word of the Lord and how it's a mirror to us. The 22nd verse says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Our humanity again, isn't it? Come and look into the word of the Lord and see that I have a need, a weakness. Maybe today I looked into the word of the Lord and in my prayer the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need more love for others. And tomorrow, am I still going to remember that? The next day? It's easy to forget. It's easy to have something called to our attention. And then just in a short time it get away from us. We've all had times when we were convicted of something, felt challenged by some truth, and purpose to do more, to do better. And maybe just in a few days, it got away from us. We just simply forgot it. Didn't really rebel. It wasn't intentional, it just got away from us because of our human frailty. What the writer is saying here, it's important to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, not just see it, but do our best to do something. And then some of us have another handicap because we're given to procrastination. We're not people that just take it and go. And so we got that also to work on, because there are some people that whenever they see anything, they're ready to go and they're ready to move. Some of us are not that way so much. So we that would have a problem of putting things off, we really need to take heed to this and be a doer of the word, and not just have the plan. It goes on in the 21st verse, say that whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I suppose that the importance we put on it means a lot, whether we continue therein, whether we really pursue it. But it'll be to our benefit, it'll be to our blessing, it'll make us stronger and most successful. If we would, and I feel like this is a work of the Spirit, but I also believe our will is involved, or there's a certain human part of us that is involved, that we can develop to be careful, that we can, the Lord can help us to be diligent, to be obedient, and to respond. And that's what it means to me to continue therein. In closing, I want to call our attention to a very encouraging truth. It's 14th chapter of John. And I've made an acknowledgement before, and I'd certainly make it again, that I would have no hope of making heaven without the Holy Spirit. I feel a total dependence upon the Holy Spirit, first of all, to work in my heart and life, but also this scripture here in the 26th verse, where it says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." I'm depending on the Holy Spirit this morning to bring things to my remembrance. And I don't think that I, in my own human ability, would be able to be taught. And I'm afraid that there would be some things that would slip from me, that I would not retain sufficiently to really be successful and to make it. But I tell the Lord that, and I acknowledge it freely, that I need the Holy Spirit to teach me and to guide me. I also need Him to bring to my remembrance things, those times that I would forget. But I'm counting on Him. I know He's faithful. I know He's true. And if I will be honest, and if I will respond to the Holy Spirit, I believe He'll be the one that guides me all through life. When I get lack, when I need correction in my life, I believe that He'll call that to my remembrance, the word of the Lord and the truth. And that's a great consolation to me. It's a great comfort to know that I can make heaven my home, and that I can be found true and faithful. I can hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it'll only come as the Holy Spirit leads me and calls to my remembrance. And so this morning I want to encourage us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name, and forget not all His benefits. Lord, help us to think more about the blessings of the Lord, the benefits, and how that He is so faithful and good. They help us to be everything that He wants us to be and that we want to be. Covet your prayers. The Lord will help me.